This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, everybody. Jason Cutter here. Welcome to part three, my conversation with Professor Brian Collins from Virginia Tech's Pamplin School of Business. Professor Brian, are you ready to talk about the future of sales?
I think so. We'll find out.
All right. That's fair. I will totally take that. Most people kind of guess at the future, think they know about the future. It's funny recently, as we're recording this, the first flying car got approved by the FAA. And it was like, that's cool. Except, you know, since the Jetsons cartoon, we've all been promised flying cars. And, you know, it's now 2023. So, like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the future and the timeline? However, what I do know is if we talk about sales, like there's the future, there's also cliche, the future is now, which I think is very valuable. And for people tuning in, make sure to check out part one and part two. We talked about authenticity, persuasion, talked about Brian's background in sales, his degree in finance with a minor of English as a writer. And someday, and I will challenge you when we're done with this to get writing anyway. There's always enough time. Take it from me. But that's a side point. So let's talk about the future of sales and the future being now. What is it that you see that buyers want more of and less of from salespeople, like moving forward?
I think in where we're going, it's going to be a really big challenge from a communication side. And what I mean by that is, if you look at what I want as a Gen Xer versus what, you know, someone wants as a millennial versus someone as a Gen Zer, very different types of communications in different ways. So when you ask about what do they want or where we're going, I think that is going to be the hardest bridge to conquer, because there's different ways that we communicate on those levels. And my girls are 22. Twin girls, their communication styles are through these things, right? Your phones. I mean, that's how they communicate, and they're comfortable with that. And they don't have to pick up the phone to call you or to do that. So as a buyer, if I'm only communicating here or only communicating on the computer, how do I convey that persuasion? How do I build that rapport of genuineness? How do I get the trust? Because it's just words on a page. So I think that's going to be something that we have to figure out how to overcome, as we go forward. And who knows, maybe that generation will realize that, you know, hey, you know, maybe they were right. Maybe we do need to actually meet with each other. I'm guessing though, as we go forward, we're going to have less and less face-to-face, and more in the world of digital. And that kind of, doesn't scare me. It concerns me.
When you say digital, do you mean like video and phone calls, or you mean like emails and texts and chats?
I think all of those, but I would think you're going to see more on the video back and forth, which, you know, hey, we all switched to video during COVID, right? The universities went to Zoom and all that. How much did we lose, right? If you go back and look, how much did people miss out of all that? You see me right now. I'm sitting in a chair. If I were up in front of you, I would be more animated. I mean, you can't see my arms move, but trust me, they're moving. You know, walking around, engaging with people, getting to answer questions, you know, learning in that way, that's reduced when you're in this type of world, and people are much more reserved. And it's harder to get the true feeling out of somebody and what they really need and what their real passions are for their business. What is really at the end of the day going to make the change for their business? How do we get to that point? If I'm having a conversation with you, I can pull that out of you. It's harder through email, much harder. It's even harder through Zoom, even though we're live and in person. We still have this, you know, camera in front of us that doesn't make it feel like we're, you know, in the same room, because we're not.
Yeah. And I just wonder, just on my own side, just thinking like, the future of sales, future generations, especially comfort level with technology, not just relying on it, but just born with it versus you and I, where that wasn't a thing, you know, and it's something you've had to learn, is where that pendulum might swing, where they're like, you know, we could do everything digital, but then everyone just misses the in-person, kind of like what happened with COVID, where everyone was locked down and then everyone realized how much they liked being around people. Yes, you could be efficient, you could do things, but it's like, then, you know, so many people are going crazy because they just missed in-person stuff. And then that just like had this huge surge and people traveling and doing all that kind of stuff versus where that is scalable, right? Instead of like a B2B salesperson getting on a plane to fly, like you said, going to Minneapolis to go talk to that potential client and spend time with that CEO, where like both their benefit and yours, just hopping on a video call or a phone call and just getting it done enough. Like, I just wonder where that balance is. What do you think?
Yeah, I you raise a really good question, because I think somewhere in between, I was that guy who was a national sales manager who got on a plane on Monday and came back on a Thursday, 5 out of 6 weeks, right? And I mean, you know, I was in Minneapolis, Dallas, California, New York, and I would see my group of clients there, then would come back next week, go here, next week, go there. It probably was too much travel at that point in time. And it's something, quite honestly, that if the opportunity were there again, I probably wouldn't necessarily take it, because I think we could have used more things like technology to be able to supplement that. I think somewhere in between is the answer. I think where we are, sometimes it's not a special occasion necessarily, but a nice occasion to be able to go and see your client, take the time out of your day to sit down with them and go through what's important to them. Does that need to be every single visit? No, certainly not. Certainly we have other ways of communication. And quite honestly, we probably drive our clients crazy if the only time we ever communicated with them was by going to their office and seeing them. They probably, you know, try to find ways not to see you anymore. So I think that there's a fine line somewhere. Where that is, I don't know. You know, I think as we move forward, we'll find it. But it is certainly that we need to think about as we go forward.
Where do you see buyers seeing the value of salespeople down the road, right? Whether it's now or it's in the future, like where do they see interacting with a salesperson, wanting to talk to a salesperson, realizing that they have to, even if they don't want to, like, where is that long-term in sales?
I think it's going to be, you know, some of the things that we've already talked about. I think it's really going to be that trust of helping me as a buyer make the case to the other buyers that are in my own organization. Because we're just seeing, at least I'm seeing in talking to our sponsors, our clients, things like that, of the team decisions now versus the individual decisions, especially on large, you know, buys. That means we have to be able to be that, you know, as we were talking about, that consultant, that person who comes in mm-hmm. and helps them develop the, you know, all of the arguments for why you're doing it. I mean, we get taught features, right? But features don't sell. Benefits sell, right? You know, everybody hated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer until they figured out his, you know, nose would go through the clouds and we could have still have Christmas. I mean, that's the thing, right? What is that benefit that you can provide? And I think you, as a salesperson, have to communicate that with your buyer. And I think that's really where you're going to see your buyer say, hey, this is what I need from you. I can go to Gartner and I can look at the magic quadrant and see that these five companies are in, you know, where I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to have a spend of X amount of dollars for my company as a CIO. And, you know, I should talk to you. But then out of those five companies, how do you make that decision? Where is that salesperson expertise coming in to help you be comfortable with going to your board of directors or your CEO, whoever your decision makers are, to be able to make that argument and move forward? And I think that's really where you're going to see salespeople, B2B salespeople, really have to step up their game, is making the case that you need us to do that. We can do that for you. And that's why we're here. I'm not here to give you a bunch of facts. You can go Google it if you want, you know, that kind of thing. But I am to tell you what's relevant, why you should care, what's the benefit to you. And I think that's where we need to kind of step up a little bit as we go forward, because we're going to be competing with AI, with everything else. I mean, that's a tough gig.
Why do you think salespeople still focus on features?
I have no idea. You know, it's funny. I think it's because it's something that it's fun to talk about. You know, it's, and it doesn't take much capacity to talk about a feature. Features are easy, right? You know, saying that I have a six cylinder in my car, you know, that's, you know, hey, that's better than a four cylinder or whatever, you know, but to be able to say, well, the reason I have it is because now this company van that we drive, I can get 23 miles to the gallon or 26 miles a gallon, which means I spend this amount of dollars less on my, you know, vehicles for my company for the year, multiplied by 30 vehicles. Now I just saved X amount of dollars, you know, over the year. That's a lot harder for some people to make that connection. How do I get from point A to point B? The feature's great, that six cylinder engine, but that benefit to the client of, hey, I can save you this amount of money by, you know, you purchasing that car. That's where I really think the salesperson has to be experienced enough to be able to make those logical steps and help the client each step down the road. That's kind of what we do. We're a coach. You know, we help you through that process. We help you to understand why it can be important to you. It's not, if it were just about me showing up and giving you the stuff and then going back to my office and wait for you to call, hey, that would be great. But it's not how life works anymore. Maybe that was, you know, when I was growing up and as a little kid, you know, in the 80s, maybe that was how other people did it. But, you know, when I started and going into sales, it started to change, and it certainly has now. And that's not, you know, we don't sit around and wait for people to call us. It's great if they do. But, you know, we're out there trying to help our clients understand why they should work with us and what can we bring to the table other than a bunch of features that, you know, I may or may not care about.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that has shifted that, you know, whether it was a sitting around waiting for people to call you or call you back, is like you said, is because of the internet, the buyers have as much info as the sellers do. And so the sellers don't have that same power anymore over the process because they're not the keepers of all the knowledge, right? Maybe the wisdom and the guidance, but not the facts and the features and the knowledge, right? Like I don't need to go to a car dealership for someone to tell me about the stats and the features of a car. Right. Like if, you know, if I need you to tell me the horsepower of the car, like I'm just lazy. That's just, I'm not doing any research and I'm going to get what's going to come to me, as that buyer, right. In that experience. So one of the things, and we talked about this beforehand, so many of the guests so far in the season have mentioned, Dr. Howard Dover's book, The Sales Innovation Paradox. I finally got it, read it, blew my mind. Put explanation to a lot of things that I've known to be true, but couldn't prove, knew were broken in the sales process, but couldn't quite justify with any like hard facts. And then he put that all in there, in the Sales Innovation Paradox. And I know that you actually read it and reviewed it. When you think about that book, and just challenge everybody to get that book, it's especially if you're in B2B sales, it'll explain why it's so much harder. Like when you look at that book, the concept and just the ideas from that, like what do you see needing to shift for salespeople, you know, in the future?
First, I'll give a shout out to Howard because, I mean, that's a fantastic book. Thank you for plugging it too, because it really does. It's a paradigm shift. When you read that, you start realizing, you know, people like me who used to be in sales, I'm like, I didn't really do things the way other people did it. And I was successful. And how was I successful? And you start reading this book and you go, well, probably because I was a disruptor, you know, and you start seeing yourself in that book and you start seeing, okay, this is why some of the things that I did worked. And you know, how we went through it and given the power back to the salespeople, you know, the, and I won't give it away, but the basketball team that is in the book, you know, and kind of talking about how they made that shift in the way they treated their clients and giving the power back to the salespeople to make instantaneous decisions to be able to keep that experience of the game and of going to the game, you know, something more than just watching your team play basketball, right? And that the information that Howard does and that he gives in that it really speaks to how and why we should make some changes and why we don't. We're comfortable. We do what we like. We don't want to change. Change takes time, takes effort. We've always done it this way and it's always worked. So why don't we do it 500 more times this way? You know, if one email is going to get me, you know, a half a job, well then if I send out, you know, 10 million emails, I'm going to get, you know, whatever that comes out, 5 million jobs, right? That's not the way it works. We're inundating our clients with so much information and so many touches that we just become a sea of gray. We don't make any difference in ourselves. We don't add value. And I would argue that if you're not adding value, one, shame on you. But two, your client's not going to care. They're going to just become disaffected and leave.
So segueing into what the future of sales now is just has to include is AI, technology, anything in that bucket. It used to be just technology and tools, but now it's AI. Where do you see that playing a part in sales as a valuable tool? And then where is that balance again in what Howard, Dr. Dover talks about in the book about technology and using it more actually gets you worse results as a whole, like you said, you know, sending a million, if I could send 5 million, why not? Well, it doesn't work because it's terrible noise, but where is that balance, right? And where do you see AI being useful and the role of salespeople still needing to be?
I think for me, I hope this is the future. I don't know that it will be, but I hope partnering with AI can help us do some of the things that as salespeople take our time away from us that we don't necessarily like doing. And what I mean by that is, you know, if it can monitor our emails or monitor our conversations and maybe take some of those details, put them into a CRM system or whatever that's going to look like in the future, that database, so that when you call and you say, you know, hey, you know, this is John Smith from XYZ Company, immediately I have all the last conversations come up. I know what, you know, potentially we've talked about before. We have that in our systems now, but AI is going to be exponentially faster to be able to do that and to bring it in. And so the time frame that it takes for me to hopefully help you is quicker. It could even be used. I could see it being used as the front end, you know, potentially being maybe some of the initial conversations with clients, getting them interested. But at some point very early on, I think that has to adjust to a Jason or a Brian to be able to have a human interaction to go through. There are always going to be people who don't want to talk to anybody and just want to hit a button and buy something. That world, maybe AI works for them too, right? We have that world now. It's just on the internet. You know, I go to Amazon and I'm not talking to anybody. I'm typing in that I want a new monitor for my computer. I'm not, you know, interacting with anyone. The computer takes care of it. But, you know, there are other people, though, that need help on that. So how do we do that? How do we get them in? I'm hoping that AI is used in conjunction instead of, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and because I don't think that it will be. I don't think the buyers will like it if it's only a machine that they're talking to. That genuineness, that authenticity, the persuasion, the things that we've been talking about doesn't happen in a computer environment. I've heard these machines and we study them. I've heard these ones that make the initial calls and you think you're talking to a person and you're not, you know, and then they say, oh, well, Brian, sounds like you may have a need with so-and-so. Let me switch you over to one of my other client service managers who can help you with that, right? And the whole time you've been talking to a computer. I think that works maybe in a B2C environment. In a B2B, I think that's going to be rejected.
Yeah. And does it really work in a B2C, you know, at scale and for how long?
Right.
And will people tolerate it? Do they like that? Especially once they figure it out, or is it valuable, right? Would you rather, you know, like the situations, not just the people, but the situations where I'm happy to go onto a company's website and chat with the AI chatbot because I don't want to deal with a person and I would rather have the robot give me the answers I need. I don't have to deal with a person in that moment, right? Like maybe if it's something simple, transactional, like I need an account number, I need this, like, let's just get it done easy. I don't want to deal with somebody. And again, this goes back to like the time thing and time wasting. So you're a little bit biased in the students that you're interacting with, because like you said, you're in the advanced track of the students who have self-selected and they're going for the minor. And so, you know, they're a little more invested in going into sales. So it might be a little biased, but where are you seeing the future of sales people coming through your program, embracing technology and still understanding the human aspect, or trying to overemphasize or lean on technology, whether it's AI or it's chat or SMS, and not? Maybe you don't see that much with that, but like, where do you see that balance, that intersection with the future?
Yeah, we actually have just created a brand new technology sales class to go into our minor, because we want to make sure that they're understanding the things that they're going to potentially touch or see out there, and how that's going to interact with their sales process. Again, I think if you can use technology as a great tool to help you save time, energy, get through to things, I don't have any problem with that at all. I think it's fantastic to be able to do it. Where I caution my students and where we talk about it is don't just use that as a facade to avoid your client, right? Because you don't want to have a tough conversation, or because, you know, you don't want to have to spend 15 minutes on the phone, don't set and, you know, send them an email that they've got to read through that's this long. You know, pick up the phone, give them a call, that kind of thing. I don't think, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of our students will go into tech sales. So they're selling cybersecurity or things like that. So they're kind of already in that world. You know, you have to use the tools that are there, and you have to kind of sell the way that some of the, you know, the companies are looking at. But it's been very interesting. We've gone through this process of bringing everybody in because of COVID and some other things. And, you know, we've seen that, you know, salespeople can be just as effective in their home office as they can out on the street. Well, what we're seeing now is that's not necessarily true. And you're seeing a lot of the companies that are out there going, you know, I really think it's time for us to go out and see our clients again. And it's time for us to go talk to them. And it's time for us to visually see. We haven't seen some of these folks in 3-4 years. And guess what? Other people are going in and seeing them, and now our business is dwindling. Well, I wonder why. Well, it's that human interaction. A machine doesn't replicate that. So how do you balance that? We kind of talk to our students of, you got to do both. You know, yes, you want to be the person with a quick answer if your client needs it. Absolutely. And sometimes that may be easier in a chat, as what you said, you know, that that may be easy to accomplish. But at the same time, you also got to be there to help lead them with better solutions to make them more successful in their company, make their company successful. By osmosis, you're going to be more successful by doing that too, because people are going to trust you and you know, and work with you more. So, we talk a lot about it. Like I said, we've created a brand new class that is around a technology. We're bringing in a couple of different things. Some of it's CRM, some of it's digital marketing. You know, it's a lot that goes into that class, because we know it is something we have to speak to, because it is changing, and you have to be willing to accept that. You know, as a salesperson, you got to embrace change because everything is different, you know, as you go forward.
And I love that you've made a specific course and curriculum for that on the tech side, because I agree with you. I mean, it's like anything. It is just a tool. So it can be used for good or evil, right? Like a chainsaw, right? It can be used for cutting down a tree to that then you can make a dresser for your bedroom, or it could be used for bad stuff, right? Like that you see in the movies. So it's really the same thing. And I love that, you know, it's like, hey, here's the tools, from CRMs to marketing to communication technology, and here's how you can use it. And then balance that with your one job, which is still to build relationships and trust and help the right people move forward. I think that's great. I think that's an important balance to have, instead of let's just teach you sales and send you out there in the world and hope that you know the tool side, or you don't leverage or lean on them too much, which I think is what I see a lot of people going back to, you know, Dr. Dover's book, where, you know, too much technology and too much trying to scale things that then just makes it worse for everybody. As we wrap this up, I wanted to give you final thoughts, final say. What are you excited about now that you're, 8 years into it, the future of professional sales education programs like yours?
I think what I'm really excited about is that we're, from an academic standpoint, and putting that lens on for a second, we're becoming more and more and more accepted as a profession. Sales has always been a profession that in the, you know, the real world, I'll say, you know, that people have done, and, you know, nothing happens until somebody sells something, right? The old adage. And so what hasn't happened, though, is that universities have never recognized it as a science or as something you can teach and can learn. That's slowly changing. There are, you know, now give or take 100 and some schools across the country, universities and colleges that have sales programs. Some of them are not like mine, they're not minors, they're actually majors. And to me, that's exciting for the world of sales going forward. Can you imagine you and I have a business and now we can hire a new salesperson who majored in sales? That was what they chose to do as, you know, their vocation or as their education, their curriculum. When you look at, you know, our program, we've had 100% placement of our graduates since 2015 when I got here. That's not me. I mean, I guess part of it is in the part of training, but it's the kids. It's the students. It's they're going out. They're selecting. They want to do this. They are successful. So when they're successful, the sponsors come back and want more. You know, they want the next 5 students who can do this and the next 6. Well, if we can make this into a training profession where you can go get a, you know, not just a marketing sales minor or a finance sales minor, but you can go get a sales degree and maybe have a finance minor. Wouldn't that be interesting? You know, to flip the script a little bit. So I'm excited about that for the future because I think we're seeing a lot of academic institutions now starting to get it. They're starting to understand. And it's a tough gig because and when you think about someone like me who's come from the sales world, I see it and see all the training that I've had in my life and things that have gone through. And it is a profession that is the same to me as an accounting profession. It's something you have to learn. You have to get good at and so forth. So to now see academics who have never thought of it that way going, maybe they're right. Maybe that is something. And oh, by the way, if we put this in and we get students in it, they all get jobs. You know, and they can pay back their student loans and they can have lives and buy houses and, you know, help their families and whatever their goals are in life. You know, ultimately too, you know, I'd love to have, you know, alumni give back to the school. You know, so it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy on that side. If I have successful graduates, they're more likely to write a check later on in their career. So I kind of see that as a really exciting thing for me. And maybe that's a little self-interest, but I really do think that I'm looking forward to that change.
I think it's a great self-interest, just like in sales, right? Like you want to succeed in sales, as long as you're doing it by helping other people get to a better place, then it's a team event, right? And I think that's so true. I mean, I've seen this enough times and talked to enough people in positions like yours where it's like, yeah, sales is, and I think it's just true in the world in general. Sales is just that outside thing that's done by people who do whatever they want. And, you know, it's not science, it's art or manipulation. That's just the general feeling. And it's like, well, you can't teach that here. And I don't have any data on it, but just thinking about any other discipline that wasn't in a college, right? Let's say chemistry at some point or whatever. And then like, everyone's like, no, you can't teach that. Like, that's not a real science or not a real thing. And then now it's just the accepted standard. So I love the vision and the thought that at some point sales will be just a accepted thing that all colleges have, or most of them have. And it's just another thing in the catalog, right, for the right people to find it and then get jobs in it. I mean, as a guy with a marine biology degree, I couldn't get an $8 an hour job scrubbing boats with fish and game because they gave it to somebody who was in a master's program. Like, come on, like, that's terrible. And so I, you know, to be in something where it's 100% job placement potential, like, that would have been great. I think that's fantastic. I love it. And, you know, I appreciate you on this mission. And of course, that's why I love having you on the show, is to share this and hopefully get more and more of this out there. So, thank you for that. And I think it's just the right amount of self-interest focus on making the world better.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I will say too, you know, as we're going through and looking at the future, I've gotten to know you a little bit over the time that we've gone through all of this, and the, I guess, not only the tenacity that you have, but the love for sales that you have. And certainly, you know, having read the book and everything that you've done, it's phenomenal to me to be included on something like this, and to be able to, you know, there's so many people out there who still don't even know that universities have sales programs, and that their students or their, you know, their family members, their daughters or their, you know, boys, sons, whatever, are all looking for a place to go, looking for something that makes sense to them. And they don't even know that, you know, there's universities out there like us that have these programs and they can succeed. And I think you're allowing us to get the word out through, you know, instances like this. Thank you. That's really, it helps our program. But it also too, I think, helps the world of sales going forward. And I applaud you for doing that, because it's a, that's a big thing. You're really giving back and helping out the profession.
I appreciate that. And that's really why, like, I didn't even know these programs existed. So I'm glad to help in some part with getting this out there and in some way just to change it. And my self-interested, self-centered reason why I do this, a big part is, as a customer and as a human out there in the world, I look forward to the day when I can actually deal with an actual sales professional, actually knows what they're doing. Like, when I go to the doctor and I can trust that person is not going to screw me over. Like, that's what I would love more than anything for myself and everyone else from the world of sales. And so until then, just keep putting this out there. So glad I could do my part. As we wrap this up, for people tuning in, they want to find out about more about you, your program. They can find you on LinkedIn. They can find the Pamplin School of Business link on the in the show notes for this episode. You can also Google it, Virginia Tech's Pamplin School of Business. Again, Brian Collins on LinkedIn. Professor Brian, thank you one more time for being here and everything that you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I look forward to the other podcast too, as you get more and more people on here. So good luck with all of those.
Thank you very much. And for everyone tuning in, hopefully this helped you in some way with sales. And I say this every once in a while, I don't say it all the time, but please make sure to share this, get this out there. In the same thing that Brian was just talking about, so many people don't understand that these sales programs exist, don't understand what sales could or should include, how we shift that. It's incumbent on all of us to do that, because there is no standard, there's no requirements, there's no profession as it stands. It's really up to all of us to just do things in a way that's effective for the buyers of the world, which in turn is always us, because when we're not working in sales, we're also buying. And so it's also applies to us. So appreciate you for sharing this, getting this out there, being involved, using these things. And as always, as we wrap this up, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.